You have your Bibles. I want you to be turning to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 11. I want to say that it is a privilege to be here. It is a high honor. Anytime the Lord privileges a man of God to preach the gospel.
Yes, amen. Yes.
But it is very special honor to be with your pastor, Brother Scott, and his family. They mean much to us. I'm not worthy to be here tonight. And I'm here to tell you, had not the Lord been on my side,
amen.
Where would we all be?
Right. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
But I thank him that my family was able to come.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord. Grandson got to come to church yesterday for the first time in about 5 weeks. And it was a blessing to have all of my family at the house of God yesterday. And it's a blessing to have them here tonight in the service. And I appreciate the Lord helping them the same. I like it when he touches them. I like to see Miss Barbara get touched. That helps me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it might help your youngins to see you get touched every once in a while, too. But if you're willing and able, would you stand as we read this portion of the Lord's Word? I appreciate the good choir singing. I like that kind of singing. I enjoyed Miss Cleo's playing. And I appreciate the fact I'm getting ready to leave this world. I like that kind of music myself. Amen. We got somebody to sing about.
Right. Yes. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I want to begin reading at verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite. Well, that is, give us some time to think about it, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers of to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000. And the men of Judah, 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies. And they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. That's reading our scripture tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Travis Parker, if he would, to ask God to help us this evening.
Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for the good day. Thank the Lord for the privilege in your house tonight.
Yes.
Lord, thank you for our community
to meet
with us. I've already heard that our hearts are filled. How would I pray that you take
you
the man of God,
word,
use him mightily tonight to speak our hearts.
Oh, God, help us.
Help.
Him. I pray that you
get wisdom.
Give him liberty.
Holy Ghost, anointing, Holy Ghost, and serve.
Who are gathered here tonight.
My way, help us tonight. Lord, revive us, I pray. Stir us, oh God. Help us,
yes.
Lord, to receive help from you in all that you do. We'll praise you and give you glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. I am interested in verse number 9. The Bible said, and they said to the messengers that came, thus shall you say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. I want to preach tonight on this thought. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. I'm sure the men of Jabesh Gilead were very concerned, and they probably felt that their efforts had been hopeless. But I am glad that on day 6, the messengers came again to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help.
Amen.
Some of you may be sitting here tonight and you feel like nothing can be done rectify your circumstances, that there is seemingly no hope for your need in life. But I want you to know, help is on the way. I'm glad there is help for a family tonight. Where there may be division and there may be discord, there is help for that little wife, for that husband tonight. Let me tell you, there's help coming for them children that seemingly have drifted away. I'm glad there's help for a church. There's help for a preacher. There's help for a choir. There's help for a family. There's help on the way. Some of you may feel like he's forgot you. You've looked across on the other side of the church, and God's doing something for that family. And you may feel like he's not paying any attention to you. I just want you to know help is on the way. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad there's good news. Help is on the way. I want to deal with just one main emphasis tonight in this text. You see, there is a foe described for us in our text. His name is Nahash. And the Bible says that he is the Ammonite. The Ammonites came from Lot and his incestuous relationship with one of his daughters. The Moabites came from the other daughter. The Moabites were mainly a city-dwelling people. They liked to live in a permanent dwelling. But the Ammonites were not city-dwellers. They were nomadic in their culture. They traveled from place to place. And they were thieves and robbers. They marauded anyone who came in their path. They spoiled their prey and took from them the things that were precious in their life. Tonight, Nahash is their captain. Nahash is their ruler, and his name means serpent. Sort of reminds you of somebody else that the Bible refers to as a serpent. Peter put it like this: be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to maraud. He wants to steal. He wants to rob from your life. And this foe has a prey. Nahash has his eyes set on Jabesh-Gilead. He besieges the city. There is no one in the city who is willing to lead them in battle against Nahash. They come out and offer terms of surrender without even a fight. And that's about where the Baptist church is tonight. I'm here to tell you there's some things worth fighting for. Them little babies sitting on your lap are worth fighting for. They're worth praying over. They're worth being faithful to God. Hey, they need somebody to nurture them. They need somebody to lead the way for them. But Nahash is preying on the men of Jabesh Gilead. There's two or three things about Jabesh Gilead that emerges from the meaning of its name and where it is located. You'll find that Jabesh Gilead is a borderline city. It is part of the land grant that was given to the half tribe of Manasseh on the east side of the Jordan River. They didn't cross over into the promised land. And they were on the border of the territory designated for the children of Israel. Now tonight, if you want to open up your life to the attack of your enemy, if you want to open up your life to that old marauder, you just live your Christian life on the borderline. You live as far away from the church and the Bible that you can without anybody inquiring what's wrong with you, and you open yourself up for his attack and his maraud on your life. It's amazing. Most folks today are trying to live as far away as they can from the presence of God and live so far away, just far enough away that nobody else gets interested in what's wrong in their life. Miss a few services, but not enough to make anybody inquire as to our spiritual welfare. I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't want to live on the edge. I can't live out there on the edge. I want to get around where the fire's at. I don't know about you. When I was a little boy at my grandma's house, we'd be playing in the cold winter, come in, and she'd have an old wood stove burning, and we'd go stand up and put her legs right up against it. And I want to tell you, that's good and warm, and I like it that way in the house of God. Sometimes this whole world is cold. You just need to get up close to the wood stove and let the Holy Ghost warm you up. They were a borderline city. But the name Jabesh means barren. Something is barren when there is no water. You can't grow anything unless you got some water. And we all understand that scripturally, water is a picture of either the Word of God or the Spirit of God. And I'm just here to tell you, you and I can't live without either one. If we do, we open ourselves to his robbery, to his thievery. He'll rob and take away at his will. But hallelujah, when you live close to that word and it saturates in your heart and the sweet Holy Ghost goes to running down your cheeks, it'll help you to stand against your enemy and be what God wants you. Been a long time since some of you had that good touch of the Holy Ghost on your life. When's the last time your youngin' saw the Holy Ghost touch you? Singing a song, or teaching a Sunday school class, or worshiping down at the house of God. Oh, it's been maybe a long time. I don't know about you, but I've got to have that. I can't live without it. I like it every time his sweet presence goes to bubbling up in my soul. I like every time that word of God comes alive in me and it goes to turn it over and over in the heart. I say hallelujah. Rebellion. But then Gilead means rocky and hard. We come to church and we're never moved. We're never touched. We never respond to anything. We sit there. And I know some people say, well, I'm just not emotional like a lot of people. Well, most of the time, I behave myself too. But sometimes I just can't help it. It would help you to get a good case of the can't help it. But there's people say, well, I'm just not emotional. That's just not me. Well, you're lying through your teeth. And I can prove it. You give me a 12-ounce hammer and let me hit your thumb one good time. I'll show you how emotional you can get in a hurry. Or you let one of your grand youngins hit a home run at the T-ball game. I'll show you how emotional you can get. Hallelujah. And we come, we're never touched at the house of God. We never use an altar. Oh, God. And we're faced with difficulty. The devil is a robin wherever which way. And we never spend time on it. We're hard. Pray. But I want to move on. See, I'm not a long-winded preacher. Brother Hinkle Little used to say, every good message ought to be short and every bad message ought to be shorter. Say amen. But their foe has a purpose. You see, Nahash hasn't come and encamped around Jabesh Gilead to shake hands with them and be good to them and smile at them. Oh, no. He's come to rob from them. And he's not just only interested in robbing. He wants to do harm to them. Did you know there's some people in the church They feel like their calling is trying to hurt somebody else's life. Oh, they may never hit them, but they may run them down. They may take that old tongue and just, take them out to the woodshed. But the purpose, and this is what I want to just emphasize right here, he wanted to disable them. He said, fellas, this is the way it's going to be. My conditions are, I'm going to thrust out your right eyes. You're going to become my servants. And I'm going to lay them eyes for reproach upon all of Israel. I want to bring shame and disgrace to the very nation you claim to be part of and the very God you claim to serve. That's what Nahash. You ever wonder why he wanted to thrust out the right eye? Most soldiers were right-handed. They wielded a sword with their right hand, unless you're blessed to be left-handed like I am. Say amen, Brother Brian. Amen. But if he thrust out that right eye, they would carry their shield in their left hand to protect them from arrows and spears and the attack of their enemy. But if they held that shield up, they were not able to see. They were disabled. Nahash wanted to make it where Jabesh-Gilead could never rise in rebellion against his rule. He wanted to disable them. I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil knows he cannot take my salvation away. I am in Christ, and Christ is in God. I'm his, and he is mine. But there's a lot of other things he'll try to rob from us to disable our life. You know what he wants to do? He wants to pluck out that right eye of a good testimony. A good name is greater to be desired than much riches tonight. It doesn't make no difference how much money you have. God, help us to have a good name and bear a good testimony. But the devil is out to rob you of any witness, any influence to those who live around you or in the community. But I want you to know, help is on the way. He wants to pluck out that right eye of a faithful attendance to the house of God. He'll tell you it's all right to miss prayer meeting every so often. And then he'll come along and he'll say, well, it's not so bad you not being there on Wednesday. Nobody ever misses you anyhow. It's all right to miss a Sunday night every once in a while. And I'm just here to tell you, I get my help at the house of God. There's help at God's house. There is hope at God's house. There is healing at God's house. And I know people tonight who were not in the house of God, and they missed things that occurred that'll never happen again. I remember when I was just a young preacher. I know I've gotten older, but I'm still young at heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I preached a revival meeting down at Miss Barbara's home church, Lyledale. And there's a man there, he's an insurance salesman. His daughter got saved that week. That man, that daddy was there Monday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He is there 4 out of the 5 nights of the meeting. But you know when his daughter got saved? She got saved on Tuesday night. The very night he wasn't there. He'll never be able to recall that. He'll never be able to relive that. He wasn't there. It is important to be in God's house. There may be something God is going to do in this meeting for your family, for your son, for your daughter, for your family. He wants to thrust all that out. He wants to disable. Did you know I had a man tell me? He said, "Preacher, I just don't feel part of the church." He said, "I've never been asked to do anything." And I said, "Well, you need to start coming on Sunday night. And coming to Sunday school on Sunday morning. And coming to prayer meeting on Tuesday night." I'm just here today. Some people think they deserve something because they're there one service. I don't know about you, but it takes more than that for me. I need his help. I'm a pretty ornery fella, everyone. I mean, in my life at times, I need help for my life. And you need help for your life.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Number 3. He not only has a pray and a purpose, but there's a third thing. I'm going to pick it up right here. I got some notes up here. I want you to note Nahash's pride. He has an arrogant and haughty spirit. You know what the Word of God says? The Word of God says the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ears open unto their cry. And he said, "A broken and a contrite spirit I will not despise." I'm here to tell you, I need more of that in my life. And you need more of it in your life. But Nahash had that old proud and arrogant spirit. He had the exaggerated sense of his own importance. He thought there's nobody like him. He thought there's no army like his army. He thought, "Bring on Israel. I will destroy all of them. Victory will be bigger. The spoil will be immeasurable. Bring them on. I'll give you 7 days to send messengers. Let them come. But we can handle it." And that's about where we're at tonight. We think we can handle it. We've got everything under thumb. I'm here to tell you, ain't a thing you and I can handle. It'll take the Lord to handle it all. Nahash, he loved to see other people hurt and squirm. I've seen people falter and fail, and I've seen people gloat over. God help us. I'm just here to tell you, we're all susceptible to failure. It's in every one of us. But that's the way Nahash was. You see, his pride wanted more. He wasn't satisfied with just the surrender of Jabesh-Gilead. He wanted to thrust their eyes out. He wanted to bring shame on the whole nation of Israel. And let me tell you, the devil would like to destroy the testimony of this church on this hillside. He would like to mar it. He would like to disgrace it. But I'm glad God sent you a man that loves the Lord. And you ought to shout about it. And you ought to thank God for a man of God. The Holy Ghost has sent to you. He wanted more.
Amen.
That's the way the devil always is. He's not satisfied with just once. He wants you to keep on. That's just the way he operates. But he also wanted his Moloch. You see, Moloch was the god of the Ammonites. Moloch was that pot-bellied god that had fire in it. And you know what they'd do? They'd offer their little children sacrifices to their God. In fact, as far as devotion was concerned, they were probably more sincere than the Israelites to their religion. But he was not willing to give up his Moloch. He did not want the God of Israel. He did not want the Jehovah God. He wanted his idol God so he could live and do as he pleased. That's what pride
is.
Pride will tell you, you don't have to listen to that preacher.
Oh, Lord.
I know some of you been looking at him and wondering. But I want to just settle it for you. He's God's man.
Amen.
I've seen the Holy Ghost on him.
Amen.
And that's enough for me.
Yes,
hallelujah. It helps some of you to get some of that on you. You might go to thinking different about the church if you get like that. He wanted his Moloch. He wanted more. But lastly, and I want y'all, family, I want y'all to come around and sing something for me. The invitation. He wanted his mourning. The men of Jabesh came out and said, tomorrow, in the morning, we're going to come out. You can do whatever you want to with us. And I could just see Nahash on that sixth night. He is probably about half drunk. Thinking, oh, what's going to happen in the morning? He's going over it in his mind. He's just being bloated up by all the harm and hurt he's going to inflict upon the men of Jabesh Gilead. He's looking for his mourning. But did you read the text tonight?
Amen.
The Bible said that Saul divided his people into three companies. And in the morning watch, they made their attack on the Ammonites. You know when the morning watch is? That's the watch when it's still night and it's affixing the dawn. Another day. It's still dark. Nahash thought he was going to get his morning, but he got more than he bargained for. You remember that old fella? God had blessed his fields, and He had gathered in his crops, and he said, I'm going to tear down my barns and I'm going to build bigger barns. And that night he ate and he drank and he was made merry. But when the morrow come, God required him to come to stand before him. Some of you may be wanting your morning. You may want your wild oats, but I'm here to tell you, help is on the way. Help is on the way. Would you stand tonight? God's speaking to your heart. That's what's in my heart. Listen to him. He's speaking to you.
He's the fountain. For a thirsty soul, he is the healer.
He's speaking to your heart.
Some bomb there.
The Lord put it in my heart today to tell you that help is on the way.
Oh, yeah.
Woo! Some of you don't think it's a coming.
Amen.
But it's on its way.
Amen.
Some of you thought a few months ago there wasn't any help on the way, but God sent you some help.
Yeah.
Amen.
But there's help on the way. You remember that little widow woman's name? That morning her son, her only son, died. And in that culture, they buried their dead the same day they died. Jesus was in Capernaum, 25 miles away. And he arrived when they were taking that boy to the cemetery. And for him to have done that, he had to leave before the boy ever died. Hallelujah. That widow woman, she didn't know help was on the way. But I'm glad before she ever knew she needed it, the Lord was already headed her direction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's ahead your way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You just don't know it.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Help. It's on the way.
Hallelujah.
Preacher, it's what's in my heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's well-timed help.
Yes, it is.
There have been a few occasions I've had full intentions of going somewhere and helping somebody do something. And I got waylaid, or I got distracted, or I just got busy, and I didn't get there in time. And when I got there, finally, it's all over. I had to say, wasn't able to get here in time to help. There have been a few times I've been looking for somebody to come help me do something. And they didn't show up. But I want to tell you, I've got a high priest who's always on time, never gets distracted, never gets busy. No. Always right on time. He's a well-timed helper. And there's help for you. Sing one more verse.
So just hold on, my child, because he's not.
Y'all just mind the Lord. Y'all just mind the Lord.
So when your feet are weary from the mountain you have climbed, look ahead. Here comes Jesus right on time. So just hold. But Terry, he's still gone. Jesus right on time. Just hold on, my child, because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you raise. So when your feet are weary, from the mountains you have climbed, look ahead, here comes Jesus right on time.
They were so hot and dry, till it seemed that all of hope was almost gone.
What you want, Seth. Tell him what you want, Seth. Tell him what you want, Seth.
Because he's not too far away. And he knows your need before you pray. When your feet are weary from the mountain you have climbed, look far away, and he knows your need before you pray. When your feet are weary from the mountain you have climbed, look ahead.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen.
I was just a lad of a boy. I went to church that day, didn't have no plans, wasn't on my radar. Lord, I didn't even know I needed help. But I'm glad the good Holy Ghost came to where I was. Hey, came to the second floor of the Sunday school building. Third door on the left, over in the back corner one day when I was a lad of a boy, and I mean to tell you, he helped me eternally Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate the presence of the good Holy Ghost. Listen, where'd you get to? Amen. Amen. Come
Mark,
on, Karen, get down.
Will you bring
here.
Jace up here? I just want the people to be able to see him.
Amen. We prayed. This is Jace. And we prayed for all these weeks.
Amen.
I wasn't even looking for him. Julie.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
I first want to thank you for praying for our family.
Amen.
As a 13-year-old girl, I accepted the Lord as my Savior at the bedside at our house. And if I hadn't had the Savior on my side in this dark storm, I don't know what I would have done. For weeks, Dad read this scripture every Sunday night. There were several Sunday nights he wouldn't be able to preach, but he would read that scripture, and he said, "I just want to remind you, help is on the way."
Yes.
We had several people in our church that were facing dark days, and I was encouraging them and saying, just chin up, it's going to be okay, your help's coming.
Listen.
Little did I know that I was one of those people that would need it more than any of them. And I'm so glad that I have him as my personal Savior. Things could be different today. Yesterday was the first time we'd been at church. And I'm so thankful that he spared him.
Amen.
When you don't know if he's going to take his next breath or not.
Listen.
When all you can cling on is just the prayers of the saints that are interceding you through. Because you don't have strength enough to pray for yourself or even pray for your children. But I know that he is the cleft. And he was my cleft, and he'll still be my cleft. And he is the shield, and he is the lifter up of my head. And I claim that every day. We were there for 3 weeks. And I got to the point where I was done praying for Jace. I told this at the church Sunday. I said, "Lord, I know that there's too many people praying for him, that you aren't going to raise him up." I said, "But Lord, we're here for a purpose. There's people here that don't know you. And please let them see you and me. I'm nothing. I am nothing. I'm nothing. But please, Lord, show them there's a better day." When one child's dying on the side of Jace's room one night, you could hear the screams of the mother.
Oh, Lord.
And I thought, Lord, that could be me. But I'm so thankful for what you've done for us. So unworthy, and I'd be wrong if I didn't give him the praise and the glory, but I do thank him for what he's done, and I thank him for Jax and how he watched over him too.
Amen.
And took him through his surgery, but I'm so thankful too.
Amen. Bless you, Miss Julie. Bless you, Miss Julie. Listen, now I'm still learning all these names around here, but I do know somebody knows every name.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen, did you get any help down there just a while ago?
Yes, sir.
What kind of help you did?
He saved me.
He did what?
He saved me.
Amen, son. Amen, son. Bless you, listen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. Amen, Karen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Preacher, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I want to thank you for saving my son. I've got two that are saved and two that are not, Preacher, but I know we got a big God that's going
Amen.
To get them in.
That's him. That's him. Amen. Amen. And the help that Jace got, and the help that Liston just got, and the help others been around this hall tonight just got a while ago, you can get for your heart and your life. He's not strained one bit tonight. Amen. I say, blessed be the name of God.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless his name. I thank the Lord for the help of God. And my pastor is a smiling tonight. Father, I thank you for your help. Father, I thank you for visiting squeezing on hearts and lives. Lord, thank you for saving Liston. God, I thank you that you're going to save him others. Lord, I thank you're going to save some husbands that have been prayed for just a moment ago. Lord, you're going to save some wives that have been prayed for just a moment ago. Oh, God, I'm glad your help is available and it's on the way. And we say, blessed be the name of God. Lord, thank you for helping the man of God tonight to preach the word of God. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In your holy, righteous name we pray. Amen and amen. You don't have to wait 4 years to come back. You can get in on this tomorrow night, amen. Shake hands, you go. You're at liberty if you've got help tonight.